I wanted to mention or speak to you about having a thankful heart attitude. A lot of times we find ourselves in circumstances that it could be pretty hard to be thankful for as far as the human mind goes. And so we've got to rise above the human way of thinking in order to be thankful in reality, that God told us to be thankful. And so I've got a few scriptures. So in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 1 to 5, we'll have a look there. And Second Timothy chapter 3 and verses 1 to 5. It was George. This is a pretty true description of where we are today. Anyway, the scripture will speak for themselves as we go. And so let's read about right now. It said this, know also that in the... Oh, sorry, George. I'll wait till you find it. Second Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. You're right there now?
Yes, sir.
Okay, then. Let's go then. This verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times or dangerous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. That's where we're going to now. We want to talk about being thankful. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, and we've seen plenty of that, haven't we? False accusers, incontinent, without self-control, that means. Fierce, despisers of those that are good, and we're going to see a lot of that, and we've already seen a lot of that. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, and that's everywhere, isn't it? And then verse 5, and we see this, lots of this too, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Okay, so we want to read that scripture to you. And then also in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, 1 Timothy 4, 1, back a little bit. Just the first verse. Now, verse 1 it is. You're right there now. Okay. Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And again, there's lots of that around. So, it's a good description of some of what's going on, isn't it? And yet, in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, we'll read it. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. The Bible tells us these words. Just a short verse. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. A lot of time we think, well, we want to do the will of God. Well, here's something he said. You want to do my will? He said, give thanks in everything. That's the will of God. And then in Ephesians 5:20, before we go there, we'll find it while we're looking for it, and I'll just make a comment on that. Ephesians 5:20, and before we read that one, I'll just make a couple of comments on that one, the last one. I don't have any problem about verse 18, where we just read, in everything give thanks, because in whatever situation we're in, we can always find something to give thanks to. And that's the will of God. I don't struggle with that, even though our old human nature sometimes would even kick up about it too. But look at this one, Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if we go back to verse 18, we find that this is part of a spirit-directed life. Verse 18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, this is part of the spirit-filled life we're reading. I'm going to, verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And I've got to say about myself there, I certainly don't measure up there. I can't claim to always give thanks for all things unto God. But by faith, certainly try to move in that direction. But I certainly don't measure up. But it's part of the spirit-filled life. But giving thanks, there's something about this thing of giving thanks that colours our spiritual condition. If we're not thankful, we find ourselves getting mechanical in our prayer life, beginning to get probably a wrong attitude or whatever. Anyway. To give thanks as the Lord would have us to, it would require a heart which believes in the sovereignty of God to begin with, then a willingness to actually give thanks in all things. Back to where we just read, Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks for always for all things. It's okay when everything's going all right. But when we're in adverse circumstances, it's pretty hard to give thanks for some of those things. In adverse circumstances, we can still give thanks in the situation, but to give thanks for the situation, now that's another story, you know? And so, again, I don't claim to have arrived there. Far from it. I don't claim to have arrived. But somehow or other, a belief, a heart belief in the sovereignty of God in our personal lives would be pretty important to have that working in us in order to be able to do that. Because I don't understand all about it. But so I'm not going to go further with that one. Go now to Daniel chapter 6, if you would. Daniel chapter 6. I probably won't be speaking very long this morning, but to me, this thing of giving thanks is extremely important. It really is. Daniel 6 and verse 10.
Page 1065. 1066.
Okay.
We all have the same Bible.
Oh, okay. Well, that's handy. Daniel 6 and verse 10. I'll wait until everyone's ready.
Okay.
You right, are you? Daniel 6 and verse 10. This is Daniel when he was in adverse circumstances. He was either going... The context is that Darius, the king, had been more or less tricked into making a rule, a law, that if anyone asked a petition of any other god or man within 30 days, he'd be thrown into the den of lions. Den of lions it was there. And so what did Daniel do? Did he buckle? No, he didn't buckle. Listen to what he did. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. He didn't waver. He said, I'm just going to keep on giving thanks. I don't care what you say.
Amen.
You know, he didn't buckle. And so I think that's a big one now about not buckling and not buckling under pressure. You know, that's a real big one, that. Daniel went up to his chamber and opened the window toward Jerusalem. Actually, the Bible said his windows being open. It didn't say he opened them. It said that they were open already, apparently. That's the way I read it. But he didn't change the circumstance. He just went on and prayed and gave thanks before his God, just like he always did. But three times a day, he didn't just do it once. And, oh, I hope they're not watching. I've got it. Yes, thank you, God. No, he didn't. No. He made no secret of it. You know? And also, what I get out of that too is another thing, that giving thanks was part of his prayer life. It didn't say he went and prayed. It said he went and gave thanks. And yet we know he was praying. We know that. But giving thanks is an integral part of our prayer life. And any time we find our prayers or our prayer time beginning to become mechanical, we might be missing out on being thankful. That could be the problem. Could be. But anyway, also, by the way, Daniel was a man in whom Nebuchadnezzar said, the spirit of the holy gods is in this man. Yeah, that was his understanding, the holy gods. At this stage, Nebuchadnezzar wasn't converted. I think he did get converted after 7 years out in the paddock there, growing hair and bird's claws and all the rest of it. He said, now I know that the Most High ruler in heaven. Yeah. He did get converted, but perhaps at this stage he may not have been. But then, well, he was he? Anyway, let's move on then. And so Revelation 11 and verse 17 now. Revelation 11, 17.
Page
341. Right, so what am I going to do? I've got a different number here. Sorry. I've got a different number here. I've got a different page number.
341?
No, it wasn't.
341.
That's all right. Okay. And so the thing that stood out to me here in this here, this is what the heavenly host in heaven said. Putting it up a bit higher.
Well, did you want it higher?
Oh, it could be. It's better.
That's what I figured.
Good on you. Thank you
watching.
Very much.
I like it way down low.
Yeah.
Are you in the deacon now? Like,
oh, okay. We're going up. Okay. You know, we're mortals here in heaven, and we battle a lot of times with giving thanks. But here's the heavenly host living in the very presence of God. And the first thing, their approach to God was 17, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and has rain. That was their first approach to God. We give you thanks, you know. And so that really stood out to me, that part of that. And then go to Romans chapter 1 now. We're going to see something here too. Romans chapter 1 and verse 21 on. There's a real message in this and in itself, but I'm not going to try and
210.
Say too much there. But anyway, Romans chapter 1. And here you can say, well, there's seven steps away from God, or you could put it into five steps away from God, whatever you want to do. But we see a progressive amount of steps going downhill all the time. And so let's look at some of these steps away from God and some of God's response to these things. And some of the effects that it has on people as they follow these steps downhill. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. That's the first step away, listed here anyway, away from God. So knowing maybe about God, but saying, I'm not going to glorify you as God. Oh yeah, I believe in you, but don't tell me what to do. You know, that's the first step away from God. And then he said, neither were thankful. Wow. That was the second step listed here away from God about not being thankful. And being not thankful is a picture of really of our spiritual condition in many ways. We start getting unthankful. It's a sign that things are not going well with us, between us and God, in reality. That's the second step away. But became vain in their imaginations, and that's where a lot of people are, and their foolish heart was darkened. So darkness begins to set in after these first three steps. A darkness sets in. And then verse 22... professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. In Australia, we got a political group there called the Greenies or the Conservationists. And I think you got them here too. We can't build a bridge there because there's a bird lives there, and if we build a big bridge there, well, it might chase the bird away, or it'll kill his habitat or something like that. And that's their mentality. You know, they worship the creature above the creator, and we all know about that. I'm not telling you something that we don't know. Well, next verse said that the same. Let's go on to 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. And they give a lot of trouble, these people. They really do. They propagate homosexuality, and now of course you've got this gender change and all the rest of it. It's all lumped in that same thing. It's an awful thing. And verse 26, this is God's response, or rather, this is a thing that happens when people follow this type of mentality. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. And that's straight out homosexuality, perversion, and all the rest of it. And it's all in that same type of mentality, worshipping the creation above the creator. It's a dangerous thing, and it's really been controlled by human nature. But don't forget, though, the second step towards this thing was not being thankful, being unthankful. My word. It's an important thing, isn't it? And verse 28, and even though they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And we won't fit, you know the scriptures, but it's the verses 29 right to 32, they're just a description of what happens when a person's mind is reprobate. In other words, reprobation is really that God's through with you. And I think there's two forms of reprobation, but I don't want to get into that subject. But to be reprobate really basically means, reprobate according to the faith, is basically God's done with you. And you can go and do what you want to do and it doesn't bother you too much. Why? Because you followed some steps away from God. I'm not saying you, but I'm asked what happens, you know. Very dangerous situation to get into. So I just had a few things written down. There's a couple more scriptures to go. But I wrote some things out here now. Many times the sign, the lifting up of one's hands can be an outward sign of a true inward worship. Worship and a thankful heart go together. Just think about that. If we're going to truly worship God, we can't do it with an unthankful heart. So worship and true worship and a true thankful heart go together. They really do. There's an example that really came to me in Exodus chapter 17, about that. And I don't think we're going to be stretching the scriptures too much. I might want to use this as an example. Exodus chapter 17,
page 94,
and you all know the story of it, I think, but and verse 11, I'll wait till you're all ready. Everyone ready? This is in a war between the children of Israel and the Amalekites. And apparently the battle was pretty fierce. It really was. And it came, and this is what Moses had to do. He had to lift up his hands, and whatever he kept his hands, first it said his hand, but then it said his hands. Whatever he kept his hands lifted up, Israel won, was winning. But when he got tired and his hands went down, the Amalekites started winning. So anyway, we'll read it. And it speaks for itself. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun, and Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. You know, the thought that I had here was many times this can be a sign of worship. People do this in church. Some churches, they won't do it because it's too much like the Pentecostal. So they're too frightened to praise the Lord because, oh, they think we're charismatic. We can't do that. But it's legitimate. He said, lift up holy hands unto the Lord without wrath and doubting, didn't he? It's quite all right to raise your hands to the Lord. And I want to, I don't know that this is originally intended by God to be that way in this particular battle, but I want to use it as an example. Moses lifted up his hand, but he got tired after a while, and he needed someone to help him lift his hands up. Okay, sometimes we can become weary about being thankful under adverse circumstances, and we need the Lord to come along and remind us that we are to be thankful no matter what the circumstances. And it can be hard sometimes, especially when we see things not going real well all around us or even with ourselves. And yet he said, be thankful. He said, in everything, give thanks. And we just read, you're giving thanks for all things. Wow, that's a hard one. But that's what God said, what he said, you know. And so we can become weary, and we need someone to remind us that we're to be thankful. I think I'll just read what I had written down here, okay? Sometimes, because of hard circumstances and our own weakness, etc., even getting disappointed with our circumstances, we stop being thankful to God for what he is doing, and we begin to lose the battle. Have you ever been there? Have you ever got disgruntled, unthankful to God because of things that the Lord has been allowing to happen in your life? I'm guilty. And when we get that way, if you can think back on your life, on your spiritual experience, you'll note that you stop having the joy of the Lord working in your life. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. Nehemiah 8:10. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And somehow we've got to guard the joy of the Lord in our own personal lives. What we're talking about this morning is really a personal thing. It's really things that affect us spiritually. This really does. So we've got to guard the joy of the Lord. And the joy of the Lord is helped when we have a thankful spirit. It really does. I've noticed that in my own life. It really helps to be thankful. And so when we stop being thankful for God for what he is doing, we begin to lose the battle. We need to remember that God said we are to give thanks in everything. A thankful heart, listen to this, a thankful heart and victory and spiritual prosperity go together. Again, a thankful heart and spiritual prosperity go together. And even down to victory. An unthankful heart and spiritual defeat and spiritual deadness go together. I don't know think back on your own experiences, but any time, again, I've said it, but any time we begin to get disgruntled, it's when we begin to get discouraged, we begin to not do so well, right? There's a book written by a fellow called Carruthers. Now, not recommending the book altogether. It's a charismatic type book. I think I've read it. I have read it. But it's a lot of truth in it. And it's called From Prison to Praise. And it told of various instances when people began to praise the Lord with a thankful heart, that God honored that by working in their circumstances, even to giving victory and deliverance, certainly in their own spiritual lives. And he really had a truth there. Now, I don't know whether he's exaggerated. It's years ago since I had anything to do with the book. But I do know that God is wanting us to praise him. And praise and thankfulness go together, don't they? And so God honors that because he's wanting a thankful heart in us. It's exemplified in Acts chapter 10, verse 25 and 26. We could look at that. I'm nearly finished. Acts 16, and you probably already know what it is, but let's read it. Acts 16. Paul and Silas are in jail. They've had a beating. You wouldn't think you'd be too thankful for a good flogging like that, but this is what they did. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. So God honored something there, didn't he? And praise and thanksgiving seemed to be part of it, didn't it? And so I'll say this. We don't know if God will always change our outward circumstances, but he will change our own spiritual condition or morale by thanksgiving. Yeah, he will do that. We can't guarantee that our bad circumstances will be changed, but our own spiritual morale will definitely be helped by it. Often, thankfulness is a discipline in our lives which we have to learn. Think about that. Sometimes we have to learn to be thankful. And it's a discipline. You just when you feel a grumpiness come over you, unthankfulness come, we've got to rebuke it in the name of the Lord and remember what God said. He said, be thankful. You know, we have to learn it. If our motive is to please God, we can begin to speak words of praise and thankfulness to God, and the person's outward action can spread down into our inner demeanor or our mood, even our spiritual condition. In other words, I think we all know this, that we keep on speaking words of negative talking all the time, we keep doing that, it'll get down and into our heart finally. Now, you might say, well, it came from the heart. Well, it probably did. It's kind of like a vicious circle. Whether it started in the heart and went to the outward talk. Now, I know the Bible said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So we could say, well, it started in the heart. But let's say we didn't check it, and it'll just get it worse and worse and worse, you know? And so thankfulness needs to be taught to children from an early age. How many times I've watched kids, you give them something, they wouldn't even know about saying thanks. You feel like giving them a good beat in the backside, you know? But we got to teach the kids to be thankful. And we learn thankfulness. And we have to teach that to our kids. And so thankfulness should be part of our prayer life. And we've already mentioned that in Daniel. He came and gave thanks before his God as at other times. Psalm 95:2, and I think this is... No, there's one more after this. Psalm 95:2. It's a good example, a good one. Psalm 95:2. It says here, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. So that can be our approach in our prayer time, I find. And then when it's hard to find God's presence in our prayer time, when prayer has become mechanical, question, have we forgotten to be thankful? You know, could that be the reason for a deadness in our prayer time? And Luke 6:46, the Lord said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? So if, just a thought to finish, had a thought this last week, oh, I've had it before too, I find in my own life, my own prayer time, I try to develop a time of worship before I begin to pray further along the line. And now this works for me. It may not work for you, and I'm not a Pentecostal, I'm not a charismatic, but I find a great help in my own life in kneeling before the Lord to raise my hands to the Lord physically. It's an outward sign of an inward desire to worship the Lord.
Yeah.
I found that a help, you know. And it's and I've also, in doing that, I've found a challenge. Well, it come to me this way. Well, you're worshiping me now, here, where nobody can see you doing it. What are you going to do when the hard time comes? Are you still going to worship me? What are you going to do when you have to take a stand in public or at work or wherever, where other people can see what you're doing? Are you still going to... You're still going to acknowledge me then? I think that's a challenge, you know? And so our private prayer life and our private worship life, God will use that to challenge us when we're out there and the chips are down and someone starts saying, you got to do this, you know? You know, to me it's been a help. So... that's pretty much what I had. So let's pray. Our Father, Lord, help us, dear Lord, to stand. And help us, Lord, to worship you. But also, Lord, help us to be thankful. No matter what the situation, Lord, help us to be, never to be unthankful, but to be thankful to you. Help us, we pray, Father. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
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 Just a thought before I sit down. The model prayer.